Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty there has liberty from that law. Back in verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the written law, the testament, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And he's talking about in verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, the Ten Commandments, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away, was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, the law, be glory, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness, Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness. Ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glory. Seeing then that we have such hope, the glory, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. You remember Moses goes up there and God with his finger writes out on them two tables of stone the commandments. And Paul said that's glory. And Moses came down, he had to put a veil over his face. And it talks about, and we'll just go on, I'll just go ahead and read the rest of it. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. They can't see the glory. Moses' veil was upon his face. They could not see that glory. And Paul said, they've still got that veil over. They can't see the glory of Christ. Look what he said. Which veil is done away in Christ. But then, even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't see Christ in the Old Testament. They can't see Christ was the fulfillment of that law. And they're blinded. The veil is over them. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. If they ever get saved, they'll be able to see Christ and what Christ has done. Folks, people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not saved. I don't care who they are, they can have all kinds of religion and all the stuff. If they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that by him is the means of salvation and eternal life, they are not saved. There can be religious, but they're lost. There's only one Lord. And there's only one faith. And the pressure's being put on people that believe in Jesus Christ today. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Islam. You can talk about whatever you want to, but you better not mention the Lord Jesus Christ. When you mention His name, it riles up this world. Why? The spirit of the God of this world is in the people of this world, and they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. And then you have these people that Jesus talked about. They'd be wolves in sheep's clothing. And sheep's clothing would be like we're following Jesus, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're ready to devour. And they just have the cloak of religion. And they talk about serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord and praise and worship, all this stuff. But when it comes down to preaching the cross is so offensive, they don't want to hear it. You know why? Before you ever get saved, you're going to have to see yourself as a lost, hell-bound sinner in need of a Savior. And until that happens, people won't get saved. And that won't happen until the Holy Spirit convicts you. Now look up. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And right there proves the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Lord is that what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from that law that had the veil. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want to talk to you about verse 18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. A glass darkly, open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Talking about a mirror. Now I want to give you some things about a mirror. Now mirrors is very important to me. I was on my job, I back trailers. Sometimes I don't have just a few inches on each side to get that trailer in that spot. And I have to have mirrors in order to accomplish and do the job that I'm to do. So mirrors is very important. If you drive a truck, you know what I'm talking about. And I want you to notice this mirror. These mirrors is like the Word of God. And I want to use the mirror as the Word of God. In fact, look with me in another passage and turn over to James and look in the James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And notice in verse 22, James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And so, I want you to understand the glass, the mirror that you're to look into, is that Bible that you're carrying around. Now, first thing I want you to know, a broken mirror gives a false image. Now, if you have a cracked mirror, and that mirror is broke, you can't tell it gives a false image. And people doesn't have a complete understanding of the Word of God, then they're going to have a false image about God. And so, where does a broken mirror come? Folks, we get accused of dividing the Bible up. They say, well, you penknife it, you cut it up. No. Turn with me to Colossians and look in Colossians. Chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. In Colossians 1, 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. That word fulfill is complete. Bring it to completion. The Word of God would be broken. It would not be complete if it wasn't for the letters, the epistles, that the Apostle Paul wrote. He completed the Word of God for the church, which is his body. If you have Romans through Philemon, you have what God wants you to have in the dispensation of grace. A broken mirror would be that if people never followed, didn't know nothing about the Apostle Paul and what he wrote and the doctrines that's in them epistles, then they're following the Lord with a broken mirror. Don't you understand? If I want to follow the Lord, then I must follow the apostle and the doctrine and the revelation that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul, or I can't follow the Lord. I have a false image about it. And that's where the world and religion's at today. Number two, you need light to see your face in a mirror. Don't you? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then God shines the light. You need light to see, behold, your face in a mirror. Well, look back with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How do I see this? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you get into the book, you begin to read the Word of God, and you begin to see there's light. He gives you light. And it comes from the gospel. It comes from His Spirit. Look in 2 Corinthians, verse chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, the knowledge there. And knowledge is light. I just read you the verse in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, the light of the knowledge, that we might know that our things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If they're foolishness unto him, look what he said, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You can't teach people right division and them have a complete understanding about it. They might know what you're saying. They might say, well, but yeah, that's true. But as far as it becoming a part of them, if they're natural, they don't receive it. They think it's foolishness. And I've had people to tell me that. I'm going overboard with Paul. Well, you make too much of Paul. I believe in following Jesus. And when they say, I believe in following Jesus, they're talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not talking about... That's all... Listen, all you know about the Lord is what you read. Look with me in Ephesians. So how does he teach you? Why, comparing spiritual things with spiritual? Look in Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about light. You've got to have light from the Holy Spirit in order to see your face in a mirror. So, there are two passages, Ephesians 4 and Galatians 1. So how does this thing work? How is the Holy Spirit going to teach you? And what's He going to teach you? How is He going to reveal something to you? By you standing in a corner somewhere, meditating and yoga and all that stuff? How does He reveal anything to you?
He speak to you in a still, small voice.
Now be honest. If you're standing there in your living room or you're standing there in a kitchen or somewhere and all of a sudden a voice comes out and... Now what? There ain't no need in you answering what you do. Like that guy said, he was going down the highway and an angel just appeared in the front seat with him right alongside of him. Just poof, and there's a man. Now I'm telling you, if I'm going down the road doing 70 miles an hour and all of a sudden a man just appears in the front seat, we're gone. How does the Spirit of God... How does He talk to you as a member of the body of Christ? How does He teach you as a member of the body of Christ what He wants you to know? Is it all of a sudden something, just a rushing mighty wind, and it comes down and the power of God and the things and you just fall out into the floor? They say, Muhammad, he just rolled. He was everybody I've read about thought he was having an epileptic fit. And he'd write down, somebody would write down stuff that he supposedly said. And that was revelations to God. baloney. Paul said, I have completed, fulfilled the Word of God for you. If it's completed, then there's no more words that God is going to write down for you other than what you've got in your lap right now. And Moroni and all those angels and the tablets and the Book of Mormons and all that other extra revelations is just a bunch of bunk. Paul said he fulfilled the Word of God. So how does he do this? Well, look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you see that little word of? He didn't say he got a revelation from Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ revealed himself and all of about the gospel concerning him to the Apostle Paul. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Not just a revelation from Jesus Christ, but Paul saw the Lord and the crucified Lord and all the aspects of the gospel that would bring salvation. So Paul gets his and from, that's just a witness for Christ. Comes down to Paul. What does Paul do? He writes it, don't he? And so Paul begins to write. Now look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye what? Read. Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by what? Jesus Christ gives Paul the revelation. He writes it down. And when you read what he writes down, the Holy Spirit, that's how he teaches you. I mean, he teaches through the written Word of God. You know how he talks to you? Through the words that's wrote down by the Apostle Paul. Everything you need to know about the Lord, everything you need to know about what God is doing today, you got to read it. If you don't read it, he ain't going to say nothing to you. That's the most important book you got. And the world neglects it. So light comes from the Spirit, comparing spiritual things. In other words, you read them. And you read over here, and you go over here in Matthew, and you begin to read and say, somebody write. So you go over here and you compare it with Romans over here. And you say, I see the difference. This has to do with a nation over here, and this has to do with a body over here, and there are two distinct ministries, the 12 and Paul, and on the thing goes, and you compare it, and as you compare it, you begin to learn, and the more you read and compare, the more you learn, and that's how the Spirit of God teaches you. So you read. You need light. Light comes from knowledge of the Word. You should each day look into the mirror. Now, how many of you get up in the mornings? How many go a day? Is there anybody here goes a whole day without looking into a mirror? Now, we might on Saturday because we don't really care. We just put, you know, that's what they make caps for and stuff like that. But most of the time, we don't. The majority of us, we look in a mirror, don't you? Then why wouldn't you look in the Lord's mirror every day? Look with me in 2 Corinthians again. Each day in a mirror. Notice in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Day what? Did I tell you wrong? Oh, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. How often? Day by day. So we need to look into that mirror each day. Another thing. If a mirror is off at the top or the bottom, it will twist and give a distorted picture. That's why Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Look with me in Colossians, and look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. What distorts the mirror? What makes it off? Well, I'm going to give it to you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Look with me in verse 22. In verse 22, talking about ordinances, verse 20, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Do you know what distorts and twists and makes the mirror look funny? It's when you add your traditions to the Word of God. Folks, it's complete. I can't get that across. It's complete. You want to know how to live for the Lord? Romans through Philemon. You want to know how to treat one another? Romans through Philemon. You want to know anything you want to know, what God is doing, Romans 2, Philemon. But when you add traditions to the completed Word of God for you, it distorts it and twists it and gives you a funny looking image. Not the image of the glory of the Lord. Look in Mark, one other passage in Mark. Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, Mark 7, 6, He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. And they do it all the time today. And he called them a bunch of hypocrites. And there's people today that would fight you. You go try to tell them that they're complete in Christ and there's nothing they need to do in the flesh to make them any more complete, and there's nothing that will perfect them except the words of God that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and you tell them they don't need their water baptism, their church membership, or their ordinances that they hold dear to them, and they'll fight you for them. They hold tradition higher than they do the words of God. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and they think they're spiritual. I want to show you a spiritual person. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, 37, If any man think himself to be a prophet or what? Spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You know what? The things that Paul wrote down in Romans through Philemon, what are they? They're the commandments of the Lord. For who? For the body of Christ. Now that don't mean that we can't use I use Matthew, Mark, I use the whole Bible. I make spiritual applications. I go back there and see how God's dealing, and I compare them, and I see the difference between that new nation and Peter's ministry and Paul's ministry. But I realize who my apostle is, and I realize that to him was given the revelation of the mystery. And I have to read to get it out. We look in the mirror when it's twisted, the image is distorted. The fifth thing about a mirror, the Word of God. A mirror doesn't lie. You've got to trust that mirror. If you're backing or whatever, you trust the mirror. And I use it a lot. And June's a great wife. But she don't trust her mirror. She tells, I just don't trust it. So she turns all the way and twists and turns before she does, which is fine. But folks, you can trust a mirror. That mirror's not lying. You walk up to that mirror, it shows you what you are. You walk up to the Word of God and you begin to get into the Word of God, and that book will show you what you are. The mirror doesn't lie. You must trust that mirror to be the final authority. The more times you spend in the Bible, the more it's going to show up in your character and your attitude toward other people and other members of the body of Christ. toward lost souls. You can't get in this book and it not change you. So what's it changing you to? Changing you into the image of the Lord. That's the whole purpose back in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, you get in that book, He shows you what you are. He shows you the wrong about you. And you've got two choices. There's only two reactions to looking at yourself in the mirror. You either correct the problems or you ignore the problems. Now, I can't correct some things. But we look in there and you go and you look in that mirror and you see your image in that mirror and it's reflected back at you and you see there's a black smudge on your face. What are you going to do? You're either going to ignore it, or you're going to get a rag, soap, water, and you're going to clean, wash your face, and get that off. That's the way it is. You get in this book, it shows you what you are, it shows you your flaws, and the Spirit of God will have you to clean it up, and have you to wash it off. And when you get cleaned up, washed off, you know what you did? You're changing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. And your attitude, and your heart, you're correcting things. The more His image reflects back at me, the more His reflection I receive, the more I'm changed into that image. You know why people are not in that image? They never read this Bible. Whereby when ye read, Paul told Timothy, give thyself unto reading. You ought to spend at least so much time every day. If it's not just to read a few verses or read a chapter, there should not be a day go by in your life that you don't open this Word and approach this Bible. This is God's Word, and read something out of the epistles of Paul. Every day. Your character, your attitude, your mind will be there. Look back in Philippians. And I'm going to close. Because I've eaten too much. And I think the eggs is reproducing. Philippians chapter 2. Paul says there, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And watch it, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, let this mind be in you. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Where is the mind of Christ? It's wrote down in Romans through Philemon. That's how you operate. That's how you to be like him. You get into this book. You see your image. You correct your problems. And as you correct your problems, his reflection starts reflecting back. And you're being more like him as spirit every day. But if you don't read, it won't. The glory on Moses' face caused terror. It killed, for it made man conscious of his guilt and therefore of his inability to stand in God's presence. And they trembled at the sight of that mount and the glory of God. They said, lest we die, you go, Moses. The glory of the face of Jesus, the man gives life. For it is the proof that all the sins of those who behold it are blotted out. And that's our glory. I don't fear death. I don't fear my sins. Why? The glory of the Lord is that He took them out of the way. And they've been nailed to His cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Having forgiven you of all trespasses and sins. That's the glory of what we believe in, that our salvation is in Him and what He done, and not what in what we do. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I just want to tell you, if you see yourself and you realize I'm lost, then Jesus Christ will save you. When the Spirit of truth has come, the Lord said He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That word reprove, He'll convince you. That's what conviction is. It's bringing the case for you and convicting you. They bring a trial. They set the man that's accused, and the person that's accused, he has a lawyer, and they have a trial, and the jury hears the evidence, and they convict him. You're guilty. That's what the Spirit of God does to people. You're guilty. You're a sinner. He convinces you. He convicts you. And when you get convicted, it's not just some bad feeling. You will feel bad. You will want to do something about it. It's a knowing. It's, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I've never been saved. If you know that, that's coming from the Lord. That's the convincing of the Spirit of God. Then do something about it. Just don't sit there and just go on week after week. So what can I do about it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, I don't know if I'll ever do it. Well, do it now. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know if I die, I'm going to hell. But you said you died for me. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to trust you as my Savior. And if you do that, He will seal you and give you His Holy Spirit. Right where you're sitting. And then you can open this book as the mirror of the Lord. and behold your face, and start, and it'll start changing things. You know what's going to change? Your attitude. You know the biggest thing change comes when people get saved? It's mental. They have a different attitude about this book. They have a different attitude about church, about one another, about salvation. They have a different attitude about seeing people saved. But you got to get in the book. Let's bow our heads. Father, I